Today's daf is daf Lamed Ches. We left off on daf Lamed Zayin and Beis. We're at the two dots all the way at the bottom of the page. The Mishnah that we're discussing that appeared on daf Lamed Zayin and Aleph discusses a case where two guys gave you a pikadon. One person gave you a pikadon that had lesser value. One person gave you a pikadon that had greater value. So that happened to have discussed two cases. One case where one guy gave you $100 and the other guy gave you $200. One case where one guy gave you a kli worth $100 and the other guy gave you a kli worth $1,000. In both of those cases, there was a machlokas what to do if both guys who gave you the pikadon claim that they gave you the larger amount of money. The Tanakhama said in both cases, you give each of them the lower amount of money and the rest is munach at Shiava Eliyahu. And Rabbi Yossi said, no, because then the guy who's lying to you isn't going to lose out anything. Rather, you don't give anybody anything, and everything is munach at Shiava Eliyahu, or until one of them admits that he only is entitled to the lesser amount. So the issue the Gemara is going to be dealing with is, why does the Mishnah have to tell me both a case in regard, both this machlokas, both in regards to money and in regards to an actual kli, where one of the kelim is worth 100, the other is worth 1,000. Why would there be a difference between money and kelim in this halacha? So says Gemara, utsricha, we need both cases. Diash min hach kamaisa, had it only told me the case of cash, by hika mi rabbanan mishum delaka pseva. I would say that's where the rabbanan say that you should give the minimal amount to each of them, and then only make the rest munach at shiav aliyahu, because there's nothing to lose by doing that. Aval baha, but by kelim, diika pseida de gadol, where the one who owns the larger kli is going to lose out if we give the smaller amount of money to each of them. Why is he going to lose out? So Rashi points out, Rashi Lishitasa from the Mishnah, that the way we give the smaller amount of money to each of them when they both gave kelim is that we break the larger kli and give enough pieces of that kli that's worth the amount of money as the smaller kli. But obviously, if you're breaking the larger kli, it's going to cause a loss to the rightful owner of the larger kli if we're ever able to find out who the rightful owner is. So I might think when there's a pseudo de gadol and you have to break the kli, ema modu le Rabbi Yossi, that maybe the chum will be modu to Rabbi Yossi, that it's better not to break the kli and better to just leave all of the money at Shiava Eliyahu. So that's why he needs to tell me the machlokas by kelim as well, to tell me that even that the rabbanan would say even in the case of kelim they would still maintain their shita that you would break the kli and give the lesser amount of money to each person right off the bat. V'yitmar baha, and had it only told me the case of kelim, I would say baha kama Rabbi Yossi. That's where Rabbi Yossi will say that all of it has to be munach at Shiava Eliyahu, and that you shouldn't pay anybody anything right now. Aval bahach, but by money, by cash, ema modul l'rabbanan. I might think Rabbi Yossi's modul l'rabbanan, give each of them the lesser amount of money. So tzricha, that's why he needs to tell me the machlokas by both of these cases. Frakta gemara v'atayimid Rabbi Yossi mishum hefzerar ma'ihu. But isn't Rabbi Yossi svara nothing to do with this? Isn't Rabbi Yossi svara all about the fact that we don't want the Ramai to not lose? We don't want the Ramai to be able to get all of his money back, the guy who's lying, to be able to get all of his money back. So how can you have a havamina that Rabbi Yossi would be moded to the Rabbanan in a case of cash, in a case where what we're dealing with is not a kli, what we're dealing with is money? How could you have a havamina that in that case Rabbi Yossi would say you give the lesser amount of money to both parties, there's still not going to be a hefsid to the Ramai in that case? If you were to do that, if you were to follow the Rabbanan's shita by cash, by actual money, there would not be a hefsid to the Ramai. And Rabbi Yossi is very makbid that the Ramai should lose out, that the one who's lying should lose out. So how could there have ever been such a havamina? So says the Gemara, Enoch Nami, you're right. We never would have thought that about Rabbi Yossi. We never would have thought that Rabbi Yossi is moda in a case of money. El travail Rabbanan etzrich vlozu avzukatani. But rather the whole tzrichus is within the Rabbanan. And Enoch Nami, had we been told the machlokas in regards to a case of kelim, we would have known the machlokas in regards to cash as well. But it's a lozu afzu katani. We say not only this is true, but it's the Mishnah is written in the style, as many Mishnayos are, of a lozu afzu, where as long as the level of chiddush ascends, then it's not a problem. That's normal for the Mishnah to tell me the lesser chiddush and then the greater level of chiddush, even though it could have just told me the greater chiddush and I would have known on my own the lesser chiddush. In this case, the lesser chiddush being money, the greater chiddush being kalim. Okay. Says the Mishnah, "Hamafkid peros etzel chavero, afilu hein avudin lo yigabehen." If someone left you peros to watch, even if you see that the peros are spoiling, that they're going bad, still don't touch them. You just leave them be. The guy who gave them to you is aware of that, and he gave them to you anyway. So you're not supposed to touch them. You leave them alone. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer mokrim bifnei bezin mnei shu kamesh vaved l'bailim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you should sell them in front of bezin. Bezin will evaluate how much they're really worth. Sell them in bezin, because that's like being mesh vaveda. I mean, they're going to be lost, they're going to be totally destroyed if you don't do something about it. So we mentioned a few days ago, the Rashash on this Mishnah points out that this is in that there seems to be a distinction between this Mishnah and someone who's a Shomer Aveda. Let's say I find an Aveda, and the Aveda I see is spoiling. So in the case of the Aveda, we had mentioned earlier that when it comes to an Aveda, we said that you would sell it, right? And over here, the Tanakhama says that lo yiga behen, you're not supposed to touch it. So what's the difference between this case and the case of the Aveda, where the Gemara says before that anything that's eina osa ve'ochel, anything that can't support itself with its own malacha, that can't make its own money to support itself, to support its own eating, you're allowed to sell. So the Rashash is mitarets that it's dafka by a pikadon, where the person is mafkid peros to you, and he knows that he's giving you peros to watch, and he knows that when he gives peros to watch, they're likely going to spoil after some time, and still, he never told you to sell them, he never sold them himself. So it's dafka in that case that the time to come over here is going to say, don't sell them. But when a guy loses his peros, you have the right to assume that he wouldn't want to leave his peros to spoil. By the pikadon, you have to assume he did want to leave his peros to spoil for whatever reason, because he gave them to you, and he knows he gave them to you. If he wanted to sell them, he didn't want them to spoil, he should have taken them back from you and sold them, or instructed you to sell them. But he didn't! So it's got to be that's the chiluk between a pikadon and an aveda. That is one ha'ara. Another important ha'ara over here is the Machna Ephraim has the following suffix. Within the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you're supposed to sell them because it's Kameshav Aved Lebailim, Machna Ephraim is not sure. Why is it that you're supposed to sell them? Is that one of the chiyuvim of shmira that you're makabel on yourself as a shomer? That part of your shmira is that if you see that it's going to be destroyed, you have to do whatever you can to save it. So that's your chiyuv as a shomer. Or maybe no, maybe it's not one of the dinim of shmira. You were never makabel on yourself to do anything other than not to be poshea with it. But you weren't makabel upon yourself to sell it if it were to decrease in value. Rather, it's the Chachamim made a takana. They require you to do whatever it is, l'tikun haperos, to do whatever it is to salvage the peros. It's more similar, perhaps, to seeing an Aveda, like it sounds from the Pasha Pshat of the Mishnah, to being Meshav Aveda. So that's a Machna Ephraim Safek. Is it a din in Shmira, or is it a din in Meshav Aveda? L'may Nafkamina, whether it's a din in Shmira or a din in Meshav Aveda. Nafkamina is, what if I see the peros spoiling, and true Rav Shimon Gamliel says I'm supposed to sell them, but I don't. I ignore the halacha. I don't sell them. Am I going to be chayef to pay for it? So if it's a din in Meshav Aveda, let's say I see an Aveda, and I walk by it, I don't pick it up. So I violated a terrible thing. I violated mitzvah say. I violated perhaps a losa say as well, depending on what exactly I did. I did not go and return it. Correct? Right? I violated mitzvah say. Let's say of or the losa say of losa lima, not hiding my face from it. I didn't return it. But do I have to pay for that? I don't have to pay for it. If it gets destroyed 2 minutes later, I don't have to pay for it. I never took a chryos on it. True, once I take possession of it, so Shomer Aveda, we had a whole sugi before, whether he has dinim Shomer Chinim, Shomer Sachar, but before I take possession of it, if it were to get destroyed, and I just ignored it, I'm not going to be chayiv. So if it's mamish a case of Meshav Aveda over here, if the guy fails to sell it, he's not going to be chayiv. But if it's one of the dinim of shmira, if he's chayiv as a shomer and he fails to do his dinim of shmira, it's like he's posheya in it. When you're posheya, when a shomer is posheya, then he's going to be chayiv. So that's the nafkamina, whether it's meshav aveda mamish over here, or it's just that it's one of the dinim of a shomer. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, my timer, what's the svara for the Tanakama that you see these peros rotting and spoiling, and yet you're not supposed to sell them? So Amar Rav Kana, meaning why would you think the owner would rather have rotten fruits than have the value of not yet rotten fruits? Why would it be that you're not supposed to sell them? So Amar Rav Kana, Adam Rotsa Bekav Shalom, Mitisha Kav Mishal Chavero. Svar number one is that a person would prefer something that's his own, even if it's a lesser amount, even if it's rotten, even if the fruits are a little bit spoiled, than to have nine kavim, even a much greater amount, that belongs to someone else. He's not interested in money. He loves his fruits very much. Why does he love his fruits very much? Says Rashi, Chaviva lav al yedei sha'amal behen. He worked on these fruits. He plowed the field, he worked and he planted and he did everything. He harvested all of this. V'kav she'yishar lo mehem, who wrote some mitisha kavin shel acherim, she'ikach b'dmeinim yimachrim. And the one kav that will be remaining of his own fruits will be more precious to him than the nine kavim worth of money that he's going to get if we were to sell his fruits on his behalf right now. That's how the Rashi understands it. The Rashash and the Paras Yosef are both medayik from Rashi. The Lechora, that would only apply if these were fruits that he owned because they grew on his fields. But if these were fruits that he bought, so he doesn't have any special emotional attachment to them, and you know that he purchased these fruits, that he didn't come from his own fields, then the Chari should be allowed to sell them. Then even the Tanakama would say, you're allowed to sell them. The Ritva also says that perhaps that should be the case, that if it's not from his karkri, he should be allowed to sell them, even according to the Tanakama. But then the Ritva says, no, maybe even if it's not from his own karka, you could still say, Rotsa adam kav shalom mitisha kav mishal chavero, if a person had to work to buy them. He had to work hard to earn the money to buy them. He had to look for them. He had to shop around, see where he got the best deal. So sometimes people are very attached to things that they purchase as well, not just to things that they grow from scratch. The Mitzvah Esam quotes a different reason, slightly different svara than Rashi. He says, no, the reason a person is rotza b'kav shalo is based on the Gemara in Yevamos, where the Gemara says that the bracha is mitzuya with something that you don't buy with money, but something that you make on your own. There's greater bracha mitzuya in it, and it's not going to be destroyed easily. So it could be that's according to the Mitzvah Esan, it seems very clear that it's dafka if you planted it yourself. But if the guy had just purchased it and he did not plant it himself, then according to the Mitzvah Esan Svara, certainly it's in his best interest to sell it, even according to the Tanakama. But anyway, that's one Svara for the Tanakama of why you're not allowed to touch it. You should not sell it for him. No, there's a more practical reason. We're afraid that the guy who gave it to you as a pikadon maybe made this produce that he asked you to watch truma and meiser on the rest of his produce. So you're going to go sell it. It's trumas and meisers you're selling. So you can't sell it. So frankly, Gemara Meisfei, which one of these explanations is correct? So I'm going to bring a raya. Hamafkid peros etzel chavero hareza lo yiga behen. If a person gives a pikadon, don't touch it. Because you're not allowed to touch that pikadon to sell it, even if you see it spoiling, the guy who gave the pikadon is allowed to assume that that produce has not been sold and use it to make a truma meiser on the rest of his produce. So it says Mar Bishlam, Rav Kahana, I understand very well, according to Rav Kahana, that the reason you're not allowed to sell it is because you have to assume a person is rotza b'kav shalo more than tisha kav mishal chavero, hainu dekatani lafichach. So then the lafichach makes a great deal of sense. Once I know he's not going to sell it because he's going to assume that I would rather have rotten fruits than fruits that don't belong to me or than money that's not mine, that wasn't initially mine, so then I can make that assumption. Now I can make trumas and maestros. But according to Nachum Yitzchak, isn't this circular reasoning? Right? I'm allowed to make a trumas and maestros b'makom acher because he's assuming I'm going to make a trumas and maestros b'makom acher. Does that make any sense? That why would he make that assumption if I weren't allowed to? So it's one big circle. The lefichach doesn't make any sense. There's no cause and effect over here. So hachikamer. So says the Gemara, no, this is what it means to say. Hashadam rabbanan lo nazvin de chayshinan. Once the Rabbanan say that the guy, that the Shomer is not allowed to sell it because he has to be choshesh that maybe someone would make a Trumas and Maestros and Malkam Acher, well, once every Shomer is going to be choshesh, I'm going to do it, Now, granted, normally I wouldn't do it, but once every shomer is going to be choshesh that I might do it, that I might not know, and I might go and make a truma semaisos makamacher, lefichach balabaisos osan truma maisos makamacher. Once I know that he's going to be choshesh, so I'm going to do it anyway, so now it's safe to do it. Now it's safe to taka make a truma maisos makamacher. If I know he's going to be choshesh, so I'm going to do it anyway. So then it's safe. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry that he's going to sell it, or it's going to end up in somebody else's hands. Now Tosfos asks, why are we choshesh that someone would make a truma maisos makamacher? Rabbi Tam asks, don't we have a rule that chaverim are not choshu to be torim shalom in amukaf? Isn't there a halacha in Seder Zrayim? And when you take trumas maestros, you have to take mina mukaf. You have to take from produce that's nearby. You're not allowed to take from produce that's far away from the rest of the produce. So how can I take trumas maestros from produce that's by that shomer to cover all the rest of my stuff? It's not mina mukaf at all. So the truth is, some of the Rishonim had a different girsa over here. The Rashba quotes a girsa that it's shema asa'an, not trumas umaiser, truma umaiser al makamacher, but Shema Asan Trumas Meiser al Makamacher. Trumas Meiser is something that is allowed to be taken Shalom in a Mukaf. And therefore, maybe that was the Girsa of Trumas Meiser, not Truma Umeiser. The Ritva just points out that that doesn't really solve the problem, because it's true, on a Da'oraisa level, Trumas Meiser can be taken Shalom in a Mukaf. But Midraban and Trumas Meiser also needs to be taken Min HaMukaf. So it doesn't really solve the problem to go with the Girsa of Trumas Meiser. The Tosfos HaRash is Miyashev, that even though it's true, a Chaver would never take Trumas Umeisros Shalom Min HaMukaf, not every person who gives a Pikadon is a Chaver. Right? There's no Bechina that you need to take in order to give a Pikadon to somebody. So he may not be a chaver, maybe in Am Haaretz, or maybe someone who's somewhere between a chaver and Am Haaretz. Someone who would take Trumas Maisos in Am Haaretz very often doesn't take Trumas Maisos at all, except for Truma Gedola. But it could be someone who takes all those Trumas Maisos, but is even Am Haaretz, Rov Am Haaretz take Trumas Maisos as well. So it could be someone who does take his Trumas Maisos, but is not so careful in the halacha as to not take Shalom and Amukov. Who says that the guy we're dealing with is a chaver? Anyway, Tosfos himself gives a different answer. Tosfos, if you notice on the first wide and the last wide line, Vomer Rabbeinu Tam, Dahacha Gabi Pikadon, Tolin B'chashashim U'etes Shelo Yigabehem. That we're much more careful with the Pikadon, even with a small, tiny, far-fetched chashash, which it is. It's a far-fetched chashash that he's going to be targeted Shalom and Amukav, but still, even with a far-fetched chashash, we're careful by a Pikadon. And with Choshesh, what would be the far-fetched chashash? Not just that he would take Shalom and Amukav, but says Tosos, V'chashin Hashem B'Erev Shabbos Tarim Shalom and Amukav Tishari. On Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to take Shalom and Amukav. You're allowed to be Mafrit Shumas Maisos Shalom and Amukav when it's Erev Shabbos and time is of the essence, because Shabbos is coming. So maybe that's the chashash. Not that the guy is going to violate an Isra and be Torah Shalom and Amukav, but the guy maybe is going to use this and be mafreshed as Trumas and Maishos on Erev Shabbos when he's allowed to take Shalom and Amukav. Says Gemara Vayter, Am Rabba Rabba Chanam Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokas Begedei Chesronan, Aval Yosem Begedei Chesronan Devei Akol, Mochrim Bebezdin. Machlokas is only if they devalue Begedei Chesronan in the normal pace that fruits are going to spoil. But if the process of the spoilage is accelerated, if the fruits are spoiling at an accelerated pace, then everyone would say, even the Tanakhama would admit, that you're allowed to sell it in Beis Din. Now, Rashi translates Kedei Chesronan as the Derech of Shar Tavuos, the normal rate of spoilage. But if it's anything less than Kedei Chesronan, then certainly the Tanakhama would say, don't touch it. If it's anything more than Kedei Chesronan, even a Mashahu more than the normal level of spoilage, then even Tanakhama would admit that you're allowed to sell it. Now, Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. Says Tosfos, V'hikshu rivam, V'chi pligi b'mashu de'bepachos mikdei chesronan l'kuli alma lo yimchar. What, if it's a mashu less than kedei chesronan, then everyone would say that you're not allowed to sell it, meaning the way Tosfos understands Rashi is that the machlokas is dafke if it's pumped exactly at kedei chesronan. If it's any more than kedei chesronan, everyone would agree you do sell it. If it's any less than kedei chesronan, if it's spoiling at any slower pace, everyone would agree you don't sell it. So Frank tells us, can there be such a machlokas that it's mamish dafke if it's exactly kedei chesronan? And furthermore, if it's Dinim Kedei Chisronan, what would be the svar from Rosh Shimon Gamliel that he would say that you sell it b'fnei Beis Din, dafk only if it's exactly Kedei Chisronan? So it can't be that it's that meaning, why would Rosh Shimon Gamliel say that you shouldn't sell it? If it were, I'm sorry, why would Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say you should sell it when it was Kedei Chisronan? So says Tosos Yeshlomar, the pligi sheneschaser b'chodesh or b'chadashim or b'chadshayim yosem isha regilis leschaser ad oso azman, that they're arguing in a case where it's an accelerated level of decline over a period of time. Upligi atchiyal chisaron b'chodesh shubshnei chadashim tisha chatzai kavin l'kor shubi kedei chisaron l'shana shleima. Meaning they argue in a case not only where it accelerates at the normal pace, but even where it devalues at the normal pace, but even where the devaluation happens over a period of time that is longer than the normal expected period of time. But there is a standard rate that we call Kedei Chisronan, a standard amount of devaluation that we expect. Even if that happens over a longer period of time, the machlokas would still be intact. Now, in terms of defending Rashi, Shitum Gvetz's quotes from the Rush, that what's so shver to say that they only argue on exactly a certain rate of decline and not a mashu less, not a mashu more, says Shitum Gvetz's in the name of the Rush, that's all Shirei Chachamim Kenu, all Shirei Chachamim. Anytime the Chachamim give a shir for something, it's always exactly, it's always with precise measures, and it's not a mashu more nor a mashu less. A mikvah is a kasher b'memsa'a, mashu less than a memsa'a, is going to be pasul. So it's not so shver to say that they would argue on such a thing. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara, if that the machlokas is only b'kedei chisronan, but more than kedei chisronan, everyone would say you sell it. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak vaday pliga. That's certainly against Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's explanation that we're afraid he made a trumas meisus makom acher. Because if that's the fear, then you would never sell it, even if it's devaluing at a very accelerated pace. You can't sell it if it might be trumas meisus. It's that simple. If it might be Trumas Maisos, it's Lufin Iver to sell it. So Rav Nachum Yitzchak certainly would not make such a chiluk between Kedei Chisronan and not Kedei Chisronan. Ad Rav Kahana Milei Mepliga, but maybe that fits nicely with Rav Kahana, who says that the whole concern is simply that a person is Rotsu Bekav Shalom Yitish Kavim Shal Chavero. So it says the Gemara, maybe it could be Ki Kamar Rav Kahana B'Kedei Chisronan Kamar. That's only if it's devaluating at a normal pace. But didn't Rav Kahana say you'd rather have 1/10 of the amount of stuff if it's yours than have someone else's stuff in much, much greater volume? So doesn't that imply that even if it's devaluating more than Kedei Chisronan, Rav Kahana would still say that Tanakama would hold that you cannot sell it? So says Gemara, Guzma Bialma, now he was exaggerating. You wouldn't really rather have a kav of your own stuff than 9 kavim of somebody else's stuff. It means you like your own stuff better than other people's stuff. But if it gets to a real ridiculous ratio and it's going to really devalue, so then of course you'd be allowed to sell it. We said that's why the Baal HaBayis is allowed to make a Truma Maisra Malkam Acher. Why aren't we Choshesh? We said, since the guy is not allowed to sell it anyway, because he has to be choshesh that you're making a truma al makom acher, so therefore you taka are allowed to make a truma al makom acher. Frankly, Gemara though, maybe it's yosem mikadei chesronan, it devalued yosem mikadei chesronan, and the guy has sold it, and therefore it's going to turn out that he's eating tevel, right? Meaning this is within the shita that it's adam rotsu bekav shelo mitisha kavim shel chavero, and we said therefore you're not allowed to sell it, and because you're not allowed to sell it, the original owner can make a truma maaser al makom acher. But why is he allowed to make a truma maaser al makom acher if it's devaluating at an accelerated pace? You are allowed to sell it. Then it's going to turn out that he's going to be mafresh trumas maestros from produce that he no longer owns because you've sold it on his behalf already. So says Gemara, Yosem Gedei Chisronan Lo Shchiach. That's not so common that it's going to devalue at such an accelerated pace. V'mishtachi Maim is Avninu Lahu. But if it does happen, the guy's going to still end up selling it. V'lecho Shemasan V'alabayis Trumas Maestros Lachem Acher. How can he sell this produce? Doesn't he have to be worried that this produce might be Trumas Maestros, that the Balabai has made a Trumas Maestros for something else? So says the Gemara, no. Yes, you have to be choshish that, and that's why when you're the shomer and you're selling this produce, you sell it to kohanim for the value that truma goes for in the market, which is a little bit less because there's less demand on truma, right? So the only kohanim can buy it. So that's what you sell it as. You sell it as truma because ein chanami, you are choshish that it is in fact truma. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, why would Rav Nachman Yitzchak say, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that we're choshesh, that maybe the mafkin made a truma, why would he say that don't sell it when it gets to Kedei Chisronan, to more than Kedei Chisronan, because it might be truma samaisros? Isn't there this simple solution? Sell it, but sell it as truma. Sell it to a kohen as truma. So says Rabbi Hapli, Rabbi Rechana Sav Yosem Kedei Chisronan L'Chishkiach Midi. Rabbi Rechana says it's not at all common to have Rabbi Yosem Kedei Chisronan. V'chim Ishtakach L'Kameh Udav Yosem Kedei Chisronan Yavdu Baal Bayis Truma Maisel Malka Machar M'Kameh Davalu Yosem Kedei Chisronan Avaduhu. And when it does happen, it takes time till it gets to that point of Yosem Kedei Chisronan. And by the time it gets to that time, the Baal Bayis has certainly already made a Truma Maisel Malka Machar. If he's ever going to make a Truma Maisel Malka Machar, it will happen before it gets to the point of Kedei Chisronan. Hilkach ki havalu yosem Kedei Chisronan nizbanin l'kohana bidmei truma. And therefore, if it's gotten to that point of yosem Kedei Chisronan, you as the shomer are allowed to sell it to kohanim, assuming it's already truma. Because if the Baal HaBayis were ever to make it truma, he would have done it before it got to the point of Kedei Chisronan. But Rav Nachman Yitzchak Savar, Rav Nachman Yitzchak holds, yes, in Kedei Chisronan Mishkach Shiach. Now it's very common for produce to devalue. V'ki havalu la'altru davalu, and it could happen immediately. V'yamrin is beninu, and therefore if we allow you to sell it when it gets to that point, it gets to that point quickly. Zimnin dekadim u'mazbin luhu. You might sell it before the guy makes it truma samaisu samakum acher. V'ki havalu hu balabayis truma samaisu samakum acher lo yada dezavna, and when the Baal HaBayis makes the Truma Samaisu Malka Machar, he's not going to know that you've already sold it. And then he's going to end up eating Tevel, because he's going to think that the stuff that he left by the Shomer is his Truma Samaisu, and therefore all the rest of his produce is okay. But it's not okay, because by the time he made the Truma Samaisu, it was already sold, because it got to Kedei Chisronan, to Yosem Kedei Chisronan, so quickly. Question?
How can you sell it? I mean, if it's designated Truma, you have to give it to the Kohen. You can't sell it to the Kohen.
Right, so that's a good question. I'm not sure.
I mean, if you didn't make the truma, aren't you worried that the guy would say the kohen?
I guess the point is you're hedging your bet. I guess you're hedging your bet, meaning you don't know that he made a truma, so you're selling it with the made truma on behalf of this guy, because he'd rather have that money than totally spoiled fruits, right? And if it wasn't truma, you'd give him the money, and if it was truma, he would treat the money with kedusha of truma, and he would give the money to the kohen, I guess. I mean, that's right. That's what I would assume. That's the only way to play it safe. That's what I would guess. Because I guess normally you're right. You can't sell your truma to a kohen. You're supposed to give your truma to a kohen. But I guess that's what he would do with the money. He would give the money to the kohen. That's my guess. Not sure though. Meisvei, affecting more another raya. Hamafkid peros etzal chaver v'irkivo. If you give someone peros as a bikadav and they spoil yayin v'hichmetz, or wine and it spoils, wine and it spoils, shemen v'hivish, oil and it spoils, dvash v'hidvish, honey and it spoils, harezal ligaben divir amei. Amei says, don't touch it. V'cham romim osalen takana u'machrim bezin. V'cham say, no, you can sell it in bezin. There's nothing wrong with selling it in bezin. U'kshu mochrim, mochrim lachir, meinu mochrim liatzmo. When you sell it to other people. You're not allowed to buy it yourself. You know, interestingly, the Rambam says, what do you do with the money? The Rambam says that you keep the money by you and you're allowed to use it, and because you're allowed to use it, you're considered like a shomer sacher on the money, even though you haven't yet used it. I mean, since you have the rights to use the money, you have a din of a shomer sacher. The Magen Mishnah asks on the Rambam, this is the Rambam in Hilch Shelu Pikadon Zayin Hay, the Magen Mishnah asks on the Rambam, why is a din of a nifka different than a din of a motzi aveda who sells it? The motzi aveda who sells it and then has money, he's even chayv and onsim on the money. He has a din of a shoal, he's chayv in everything on that money. Why over here does he only have a din of a shomer sacher on the money? So the Magen Mishnah's Matari, it's a buy an aveda, even when you're watching the aveda itself, you have a din of a shomer sacher, right? So a shomer aveda himself has a din of a shomer sacher. So when you transfer it into cash, your level of chiv shmira goes up a notch. So it goes up to a level of a shoal where you can be chayv even an onsim. Whereas over here, by our case, when you're a shomer on a pikadon, right? So you started as a shomer chinam. So now when it turns into money, it's going to be raised and not just going to be the status of a Shomer Sachar on the money. When a Gabbai Tzedakah doesn't have any poor people to give the money to, so he has all this small change, and small change is going to rust more quickly, it's going to devalue more quickly. So you don't want to keep that around for too long, you need to turn it into larger money. So he has to go to the money changer, but he should change the money for other people, not for himself. If he needs small change, he shouldn't do that change himself. The Gabbai Tzedakah always has to be very careful to be above board and never be suspected of anything. Gabbai Tamchoi, bizman she'in lemaniyim lechalek, mochur la'acher vein mochur la'atzman. A Gabbai of a Tamchoi, which is that gives out food, it's a soup kitchen, so when there are no aniyim to give the food to, you sell the food, but you sell it to other people, you don't sell it to yourself. Again, you have to be totally above board. We don't want it to look like you're giving yourself a good deal on account of the funds of aniyim. Katani miyas, but bottom line is, what did we learn? Peiros v'yirkivu. We said that if there are fruits that have spoiled, so we have a machlokas. Rameir says, don't touch it. The Chum say, also behem takana. My love, afil yesu mikatei chesronan. Doesn't that imply, though, that the machlokas exists even when it's spoiling, when it's totally spoiled, when it's beyond the point of kadei chesronan? So says Gemara, lo, b'kadei chesronan. No, when we say it's spoiled, it just means b'kadei chesronan, only up until that point. Ayva yayin v'hichmet shemen v'hivish dvash v'hivish diyesu b'kadei chesronan ninu. All the examples we gave, forget peros v'yirkivu, where you could touch it up as being less than kadei chesronan. What about wine that turns to vinegar? What about oil that's totally spoiled? All that is much more than kadei chesronan. So says Gemara, no, shiny honey, kiven to come. Those things are different because once they're spoiled, it's done already. There's nothing you could do about it anymore. So since they're already destroyed, so they're not going to get destroyed any further, and therefore there's no sense in selling it any further. But Enochinami, by peros, which get past the point of Kidei Chesronan and can still spoil further, everyone would agree, save whatever you can of them and sell them at that point. Shemen v'hivish, dvash v'hivish, l'may chazu. What do you mean? You're going to sell spoiled oil and spoiled honey? Granted, wine that's spoiled, it's vinegar, so it has some value. What are you going to sell spoiled honey and spoiled oil? What's it worth? So shemen chazu l'galdai, the oil can be used by people who work with leather to rub onto the leather. Tvash l'ketisha degamli, and the honey can be used to rub onto camels for the sores on the camels. It says an ointment for the camels. V'cham mar moslem takana umarchum bezin. And the chamas say, make a takana and sell it in bezin. My takanta avadu, what kind of takana? You're not salvaging anything by selling it in bezin. So Ravashi the kankana, you're at least salvaging the jugs that it comes in, because those could get ruined also, so at least you're salvaging that value. But my kamifugi, what are they arguing about? The sheet that says don't sell it says we're not worried about the hefsed muat of already spoiled stuff that's not going to devalue any further, and all you're doing is saving the jugs anyway, so we're not worried about that. And the other one says no, we're even worried about the devaluation of the jugs, even that is of concern to us, and therefore you should sell it. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Leal says you should sell it in Beis Din because it's like being Meshav Aveda, because the produce is just spoiling so quickly. Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we pass on Rabbi Shimon Leal. V'Rav Amar Rav Nachman, halacha divrei chachamim. And Rav says in the name of Rav Nachman, that we pass on like chachamim. Frankly, Gemara Rav Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chad azim, didn't Rabbi Yochanan already teach us this once? That we always pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel with only three exceptions in Mishnayos. Whenever Rav Shimon Gamliel appears in a Mishnah, we always pass on like him, except with three exceptions. So it says Gemara, yeah, Amorayin in Valibid Rabbi Yochanan. There is a different Amorayin, both stating the Shitos of Rabbi Yochanan. But in Achinami, it would not have been necessary for the other Amor who already taught us that we always pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel to Vayter teach us that in this case we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. How do we paskin? Right, based on this machlok samraim, what are the klali apsak? So the Rif says we would paskin like since Rav Nachman is the basra'a and hilchsa kabasra'a, and Rav Nachman paskins like the chachamim, so we too would paskin like the chachamim, because that's the rule that we always paskin like the basra'a, we always paskin like the later opinion. The Rush says though, wait a second, we only say hilchsa kabasra'i from the generation of Abaye and Rava and on. Rav Nachman was before the generation of Abaye and Rava. And granted, over here, Rava takes sides, but Rava wasn't taking sides on his own. Right over here, even when Rava took sides, it was Rava Amar Rav Nachman. He was saying in the name of Rav Nachman. So this is from before the generation of Abaye and Rava. And before the generation of Abaye and Rava, we have an opposite rule in effect. Namely, Ein Halacha Ketamle B'Makom HaRav. That you go with the earlier Shita, not with the later Shita. It's the exact opposite rule, that you should follow the earlier Shita. And furthermore, says the Rush, we paskin like Shmuel Bedini, and Shmuel paskin is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So when it's the din of Isra Veheter, he'll say Karav B'Yisurei, but when it's the din of Dine Mamanus, we assume Shmuel is a greater expert in Dine Mamanus, and we always paskin like Shmuel in Dine Mamanus cases. So we should paskin like Shmuel, who paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel over here. So therefore, based on all those questions, the Rush says he doesn't understand why the Rif paskins like the Chachamim. He thinks we should paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay, anyway, let's see the Gemara Veiter. Says the Gemara, "Mid Rav Shimon Gamliel Nishma, from Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita, what you see is Demaridim Krav Benichsei Shavu. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you're allowed to sell items that are under your guard that you're supposed to be protecting. You see from that when you have someone who was captured and his properties are lying there and no one's taking care of them, you let his Karov, who's going to Yarshin him anyway, if he were to die, who would Yarshin him, take care of those properties. And from the Rabbanan who say that when you have this Aveda, that you have this this Pikadon that you're watching and it's being Nevar, it's devaluing by the day, and still you shouldn't touch it, you shouldn't do anything to save it, so that must assume that when you have someone who's captured, you don't put anyone on his property to go and take care of it and invest in it and do anything to help protect the property. The two are dependent on each other, these two halachos. Says Gemara, no, mimai. Dilma atkan lo kam Rav Shimon Gamliel hacha, el mishum de kakal yakarna, avlasa machinami de moridin. Maybe over here it's because it's a pikadon that's metaltalin that can get totally destroyed. Karka can never be totally destroyed. So maybe in the case of karka, everyone would agree, don't send someone into the field to take care of it. It's dafka by Rav Shimon Gamliel, dafka says by a pikadon which is metaltalin that can get destroyed, that he says you should sell it. And maybe Vatkan Lokam Rabbanan Hacha, Eli Ikrav Kani Ikrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. And maybe the only reason the Rabbanan over here in our Mishnah say not to sell the Pikadon is because there's a concern that the person is Rotsa Bekav Shalom Mitish Kav Shal Chavero. Or because there's a concern that maybe he made a Trumus Maisu Samakam Acher. Aval Hasam, but by Karka, Hachinami Damaridin. Maybe you should go and Taka take care of it. Because there's nothing to do with Kav Shalom Mitish Kav Shal Chavero. Either way, if the guy ever gets out of captivity, he's going to get his field back. He's not going to get somebody else's field, so there's no such concern. And certainly, he didn't make his field Trumas and Maestros, so there's no concern. So says Gemara Lameima to Trey Taimin Inu. Really, you mean to say that these two machloksim are independent of each other? V'am Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel says we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'am Rav Shmuel Maridin Karav Nechsei Shavui. And he also says you would put a karov into a captive's field to help protect the field. So Lav Mishum Dechad Taimu. Isn't it not a coincidence that Shmuel paskins the same way both by the case of the field and by the case of the pikadon? Isn't it because these two machloksim are completely dependent upon each other? So says Gemara, lo, trey taimin inu. It's a Shmuel just happens to paskin that way in both cases. Doesn't mean that it has to be that they're dependent on each other. No, these are two totally separate machlokasim. Hachinami mistavra. And it's logical to assume that they're two machloksim, because after all, Damarava Amrav Nachman halacha k'divrei chachamim. Rav Nachman paskins like the chachamim in our Mishnah that you don't sell it. Rav Nachman maridin kol v'nichsei shavui. And Rav Nachman also holds you send the karov down into the nechassim to take care of the nechassim. So you see that l'shmamina trei taminu shmamina. So you see that these machloksim are not dependent on each other. If they were dependent on each other, Rav Nachman would not be able to split his psak. Itmar, Shavoi Shenoshva, if you have a person who is taka captured, so Rav Amar Ein Moridin Karov L'Nechassim, Rav says don't put a Karov on the Nechassim to invest in it and take care of it, Ushmuel Amar, and obviously also benefit from it, take the payros from it and everything else, Shmuel Amar Moridin Karov L'Nechassim, Shmuel says you do send the Karov to the Nechassim, right? Obviously when you're sending the Karov, he's going to benefit from it, otherwise it's a no-brainer. If a Karov is willing to go and do it and take care of it to no benefit of his own, then it's a no-brainer that he can do go do. The question is, can you send the karav there and allow him to take care of it and benefit from what the produce has to offer, from what the land has to offer? So b'shashamu b'shameis, when you heard that the guy died, kuli amlo pligi d'marid, and then everyone would say you could send the karav there. Ki pligi b'shaloshamu b'shameis. The whole machlokas is when you didn't hear that he died. Wait a second, if he's dead, isn't it obvious that the Yarshim get to keep it? Isn't that the din? When someone dies, his Yarshim get to keep it? So it says Tosfos, no, ein lefarish b'shamu b'beis edim. When we say shamu b'shameis over here, it doesn't mean we know that he's dead. Ein achinami, if we know that he's dead, then of course the Yarshim get to take it. We're not talking about that Tuedim came and said that he's dead. Tim came pshita demaridin. El shashamu hainu b'kol, says Tosfos, ve'eid echad. Shamu means rumor has it that he's dead. Rumor has it, and Eid Echad came, whatever. That's the case where we say, Kuli Amlo Pligi, that you're Moridin, that you're allowed to go. But if Lo Shom Bo Shemes, you just have no idea about his whereabouts, you didn't hear anything about him, so then that's where we have Machlokas. Rav Amar Ein Moridin, Dilma Mafsid. Lahu, Rav says, don't send the Karov into the field because maybe he's going to cause a Hefsid. Ushmuel Amar Moridin, Kibin Dom Marsha, meaning like, Hukaris Lo Mafsid. And Shmuel says, no, send him into the field. You don't have to worry that he's going to destroy the field, meaning we're afraid that, what's the Shash of Mafsid? That he's going to suck all the nutrients out of the field. He's going to overwork this field to get everything for himself. And when this guy comes back, he's going to be left with a field that can produce very little. So Shmuel says, no, you don't have to worry about that because we're going to treat him like an aris. He's going to be treated like a sharecropper. And a sharecropper has a vested interest in the field. And therefore, you don't have to worry that he's going to be mopped to the field. Says Mar Meisvei, Reb Lozer Omri Mashmash Nemer V'chara Api V'arakti Aschem Yodea Nishan Ashseim Almanos U'bnei Misomim. Pasuk says, I'm going to kill you, so don't I know on my own that if you're dead, your wives are going to be Almanos, your children are going to be Yisomim? El Matam Lomer V'ayu Nesheichem Almanos U'bneichem Yisomim. Why does the Pasuk then invite to go and say, yeah, and by the way, your wives are going to be Almanos, your children are going to be Yisomim? That's normally what happens when a person dies. What's the Chiddush? Melamit Shin Ashseim V'akshul Sinasi V'manich Nosam U'bneim Rotsim Leilu L'nechseh. Now it's teaching me that it's going to be so bad that the wives are going to want to marry other people, but they're going to be agunos. The children are going to want to yarsh them the nechassim, but they're not going to know that you're truly dead, and they're not going to be allowed to go to your nechassim. Don't you see this is a raya that we don't allow the karov to go to the nechassim? You see that we're teaching the pasuk that the banim are not going to be allowed to go into the nechassim. So amarava leirid velimchar tana. No, that just means that the banim are not going to be allowed to go into the nechassim to sell it, but to go into the nechassim to work it and to take care of it, that certainly they're going to be allowed to do, and therefore it's not a raya one way or the other whether we're maridin karov to the Nechse Shavoy or not Maridin Karov Nechse Shavoy. Okay, the sugya continues on to the next daf. We'll pick up from that point from the story tomorrow, from Hava Uvda tomorrow.